Welcome to Measures of a Man, a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Tony Trippi, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Matthew Sparks. Measures of a Man is a show about men's spirituality and how we can support one another as brothers and provide opportunities to grow in our faith. As we prepared to launch into this ministry, we decided to dedicate our first four shows to the topic of Catholic marriage and fatherhood. We've all heard there is a marriage crisis in our society, and the concept of the traditional family is under attack. Even within families of faith, we've all heard stories of marriages that have fallen on hard times or ended in divorce.
Today's show is a discussion about fatherhood and being a great husband and using our faith to do so. Joining us in the studio today is Hank Mesiewicz. He's the father of three and the grandfather of eight. And Tom Heiss, the father of six, the oldest being 10. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Tom, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today to witness for you. Help us to grow in our faith, to grow as men of faith, and to further grow in fatherhood and as husbands. And help us to witness on your behalf here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Tom, okay, got 6 under 10. There's got to be a story there. There's got to be something. Your faith must play a huge role in all of that. And the unity between you and your wife must be pretty amazing. So why don't we start, tell us a little bit about 6 under 10, man.
yes, absolutely. It can be very challenging, certainly, but it's been a blessing. I would say that one of the biggest surprises was when we were when we had three kids and we were thinking about having a fourth, and we went into that first sonogram, and we got about halfway through, and they said, and that was baby A. And of course, we were having twins, and we knew enough about sonograms to know that we'd never heard that before, and it was certainly challenging to raise twins with three younger kids, but it's been a blessing. It's a great reward.
And Hank, you're the proud grandfather of eight, and can you tell us a little bit about how your faith is? With the ups and downs of leading a family for that long, tell us about how you've leaned on your faith at times with your great family.
thank you, Matt. Yes, three children, eight grandchildren, and it's a blessing. It's a further blessing that they all grew up, we all grew up together. Mm-hmm. And we'd lived in Newark for 22 years, and the kids began to move out. As kids do, as they go to college and find jobs, but it's been a blessing to be able to be with them day by day, and to watch them grow and in their faith, and being able to have a part of that, so that we can kind of watch them.
That's great, Hank. Can you tell me something that you and your wife have done together that involves God's love, whether it be your prayer life, going to confession together, going to Mass together? What's something that you can look back on and say, this is something that we've done looking towards God that's really helped us?
I think it's the gatherings. The more we can get the family together, mm-hmm. and ourselves together, it creates a excuse me, it creates opportunities for us and for our families. Birthday parties. You can imagine with 16 people and everybody has a birthday, that's an awful lot of cake.
You get together a lot, yeah.
And maybe sometimes too much, but not really. So those are just some of the areas. As the grandkids begin to kind of spin off and get jobs in Cincinnati and other areas, we're finding a few of them are starting to be our children being empty nesters, but mm-hmm. It has been it changes, And it keeps us alive as parents and grandparents. Sometimes really busy, and sometimes kind of hard to catch up a little bit. But opportunities provide themselves, and we kind of take advantage of it.
That's great.
Hey, Tom, with all those demands as a father, how is it that you work on your relationship with your wife? And a similar sort of question to Hank. With everything that's going on, and really, I can only imagine, it's bad enough I've got two, and they're 2.5 years apart. But what do your wife, what did the two of you do together, especially with regards to your faith life, that really helped strengthen that bond?
Sure. I would say the first thing is just trying to be very deliberate in how we prioritize our time. With the hustle and bustle of the day-to-day life, running kids here and there and work and everything at home, it can be challenging to make sure that we make time for ourselves. So one thing that we try and do is, at least about once a month or so, make sure that we have a date night for just the two of us and making sure that we have that time. That's definitely been important for us. And really just trying to do our best to not overextend or overcommit with kids' activities as well. It's, with six kids, it could be easy if everybody's in a couple activities to just be running all over the place and, never get to see each other. So we try to do that, and as much as possible, sync up our schedules so that we at least go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time, so that we have a little bit of time every day to reconnect.
And Hank, how long have you been married?
52 years.
52. God bless you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. So in all that time, what would you say, for Tom, Matthew and I, I've been married 14 years. How do you do it? How do you get to 52? I mean, that's phenomenal.
Well, obviously you couldn't do it unless the Lord was a big part of it. And I don't know, probably early on, simple little things, prayers together. Meals in the restaurant, ask a blessing on the food, wherever it may be, we try to help interject why we're here and who brought us here. We have a lot of opportunities, and we try to continue to take care of those opportunities. Probably one of the biggest things, or at least in my mind, is when talking in general conversations with people, a lot of folks talk about my children and my kids. Mm. True, maybe the spouse isn't there, but we kind of look at it. It's our kids. Mm-hmm. We did this along with the Lord. We make a great team.
You're listening to Measures of a Man on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Tony Trippi, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host Matthew Sparks. And we're discussing the spectrum. We're talking about being young father, young husband, and at the other end of the continuum. Sorry, Hank.
Thank you.
Been around for a while. Don't mean to disparage your age, sir. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the extended family, too, and being a grandfather in that extended family. That's something we'll come to in a few minutes. And that's really, really important as well.
I think one thing Hank was just saying that really stuck out to me is, even after 52 years of marriage, they still have to not struggle, but really be deliberate about making time for God. And whether that be over a prayer at a mealtime or at night, like you were saying, Tom was saying, you try to wake up and go to bed at the same time. And those small moments with God are really what I think, we all strive to find more times of that. One thing for me personally that helps me is sometimes our kids remind us of that. And I know there's been times we've been out at the restaurant and all of a sudden my son says, "We forgot to pray, Dad." Can either of you, Tom, tell us about a time that when your kids have reminded you of your faith or your kids have kind of kicked you back into that mode of let's make sure God's in the family today. Let's make sure God's presence is truly recognized today.
Sure. I think a lot of times it's the little things throughout the day that they do that really make you step back and realize, how strong the faith of a child can be. Mm-hmm. Even as simple as, in church when they're taking a special offertory for, you know, victims of the most recent hurricane, and the kids' willingness to give of their own money for something like
is
really inspiring. And you know, the empathy that they have for people who are less fortunate, and the fact that they can step back and be thankful for everything that they have. I'd say, you know, every day they inspire me in little ways like that.
Well, it's amazing that story you just shared, that how often our egos are what get in the way of ourselves and Christ, and how quickly a child can break us of that.
You know, Hank, thinking along that line, how do you celebrate God's presence and love as a family? What are some of the things that you guys do? You've talked about a couple of things like the birthday parties, but from a more spiritual perspective, are there any special habits or anything that you folks do as a family that is faith-driven?
Maybe it's, as you can guess, it's sometimes the older they get, the harder to get them all together, the children and the grandchildren. But we make some special times, especially around the Christmas time, and on some birthdays we'll get the church together as a family and be able to pray that way. It just seems, as I said earlier in my remarks, there's just every time, every year comes by, we have different opportunities at church. On occasion, maybe a couple times a month, I'll be able to make a children's mass at the St. Bridget's. And 9 o'clock, and have one grandchild. I have three of them there now. But the one I'm speaking of is in third grade, and I'll be sitting there, and she may be way across on the other side of the church, and Grandpa, take it easy, and then she'll come over, and we'll have mass together. The other one's first grade, and he'll come over at times. So, it's those times that it's a beautiful thing to see the growth of our children and our grandchildren at church and in other environments.
And what about the in-laws? So what about the people that weren't your children but have become your children through their marriages?
Yeah, we've been blessed. Our oldest son, his parents, our daughter-in-law's parents, moved from the Cleveland area over here after they got married and settled in here. And the fact is, we were living in Newark and perfectly happy at that time, but it took a while to come over and have some ice cream with the grandkids. And so they kind of urged us to come on over from Newark to the Chicago, the Columbus area. And so that was a hard thing for my wife because she was from Newark initially. But our daughter had a talk with her, and everything else was fine.
So you made that move to be closer to the family, and
oh yeah, yes.
And I'm sure that helped not only just day to day operations, but to share that faith with your grandkids, to be closer and be at those activities every day had to be great.
Yeah, and you know, activities are a big thing. Sports activities are a big thing. Activities at the school, and so we've been able to, we're just completely busy and devoured with all that.
Mm-hmm. And having said that, with the pressures that are on all families with activities and things like that, I guess I would ask either one of you, what are ways that we as fathers, can put the brakes on our families for even a minute or two to really get the focus back on Christ? How do you keep your children understanding the fact that our faith is first, and in a society that tells us not necessarily that's the case?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we try and do is really just make it clear to the kids that Mass is a priority and that there's no exception. So even just something as simple as if you're traveling, you can always find a Mass somewhere. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that, you know, the kids know that regardless of the situation, we're going to go to Mass and we're going to pray together as a family. And you know, I think in terms of day-to-day life, just making sure that we spend quality time with each other. I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's easy to overschedule yourselves and
sure,
just be running in all sorts of different directions. But You know, every day, just even if it's, you know, one parent and a couple kids and something as simple as going fishing or bike riding, just spending time together.
And well, that time also, usually opens up those conversations to talk about your faith as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're recording this in the fall, and I heard while we were preparing for the show that you guys do family Halloween costumes.
That's right.
Can you that sounds great. Can you tell us a little bit about that history and what it's like for all of you to be together and doing that?
Yeah, you know, it's great, and I'm glad that tradition has continued as long as it has, with my oldest being 10 now. But yeah, the kids really get into it. It's a way of kind of bonding as a family. So we were Star Wars themed this year, and all 8 of us. And
nice.
Last year we were crayons, and we've done Wizard of Oz, Charlotte's Web.
You have a couple more kids, you could be the disciples. I mean, you really could keep this going.
We're getting close, I guess.
So what were you this year?
I was Han Solo.
Of course
you were. Oh, there you go. Yep. So it's, that's great. Any Ewoks or just...
We didn't have any Ewoks. We had a Yoda, Luke, and a Leia, an X-Wing pilot.
Nice.
We had the whole cast, really.
Yeah, you really could do the whole, all the movies.
Then. Yep.
Excellent. You know, Hank, you and I got a chance to talk a little earlier in the week, too, and I was really impressed. I had an opportunity to look at the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love. And then in it, they talked about love in the family, and there was a discussion of the importance of the extended family. So much of what we hear about in our culture focuses on the nuclear family. And you're a great example of the extended family and the power of the extended family in action. But you're also telling me that this goes even to family vacations. So can you tell us a little bit about what that experience has been like with what is it, 24? I mean, how many of you went on this?
16. We've had. It gets harder to have all 16 there every year because they have extended families as well.
Sure.
And. But a couple of years back, we had a 16 went on down to North Carolina and all stayed in the same house.
Oh, wow.
And the house had an elevator in it, which was great to accommodate my wife. And she has a little bit of a problem with her back, so that turned out beautiful. And we all organized the meals and who made them and who would say grace before meals and all of the above. But nowadays, at least last year, we went just with one of the families. We kind of go with one family 1 month, and then a few months later, we'll go with another family. So this is starting to turn out even better.
The joys of retired life.
Oh, yeah. It is.
You're listening to Measures of a Man on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host, Tony Trippi. We're here with Tom Heiss and Hank Mesiewicz discussing the powers that and the struggles of having a family, being a husband, and how our spirit and our faith life help guide us through that. Gentlemen, we've talked about some great celebrations, but I know throughout married life, there's always going to be some bumps in the road and some tough times as well, whether that be illness or loss or loss of a job, something like that. Whether in your own family or in a friend's or a community member's, how have you seen people pull themselves out of rough times with the use and the leaning upon their faith?
You know, I wouldn't say it was a rough time necessarily, but. Going back to when we found out we were having twins.
Sure, or
it
an
was,
unexpected
yes,
time.
It was
perfect,
very,
yeah.
Very unexpected, and it was certainly life-changing. But we realized we knew we had a lot of people praying for us, and that was really uplifting, and that really helped get us through those times, especially with a couple of newborns and the challenges and the strain that can put on your relationship.
Sure.
But we really appreciated knowing that there were so many people out there praying for us, and I don't know that we would have gotten through it as well if we didn't have that supporting community around us.
Hank, can you think of a time that you had to lean on your faith or saw others lean on their faith to get themselves through?
Probably one of the worst times that I have and my brother and family went through was about 44 years ago. Our parents, my mom and dad, were with a vacation club out of the Chicago area, and they were heading down to Mexico to have a great time. Well, long story short, the plane crashed, and it was a blessing, though. When it crashed, it hit a viaduct and landed in a swamp area. So it didn't have the fires that you might expect mm-hmm. from that. So the first disaster part was just hearing about it, and brother and I flew down to Mexico, and mom and dad were in bed, broken arms, and kind of disheveled, as you would expect.
Sure.
But after a few days there, they seemed to be fine, not a problem. So brother and I went home, and it was and we talked to him on the phone. A week later, my dad says, "You better come down. Mom's not doing well." And here we thought dad would be he had a bad broken arm.
Sure.
He's a musician. He uses his arm to play the accordion for 50-some-odd years. And so that was part of his livelihood. And mom was, by the time we got there, she's already in a coma and passed away. Which, in one respect, we were there when that happened. And we were able to help and comfort dad and go back to Chicago area with him and help him get through this horrible accident.
I'm sure the love and faith that you and your wife shared, you really had to lean on that.
We certainly did. We prayed the entire time, and there were times that I just didn't think maybe the Lord was paying attention. And we saw other opportunities, and with that, and saw that at least Dad was alive, and saw what positives we could get out of that. He showed us.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, that's really, you thought everything was okay, and then this. But it's really great that your father was with her.
Yep.
For that. As we begin to close the show, we've been asking all of our guests the same two questions as concluding remarks. And Hank, let's start with you, and let's talk about the spousal relationship. So what would you suggest to the people listening to the show, men listening to the show? What one thing or one, couple of things could they do today? Could they just start doing this minute in order to help their relationship as a spouse?
Try to get as much involved with it. My wife wasn't a golfer, and she went into golf. Well, now I think she's a better golfer than I am. And although she can only do 9 holes at a time, we're still in a league at the Safari, and that's been a fun thing for both of us. We try to do many things together, but yet my wife plays bridge, and I don't do any of that.
And but just being present.
Yes. And so she's been a wonderful thing. The main thing is to listen, to really, really, really listen. When I retired, I figured, I'm retired. I'm done with anything else. And my wife reminded me, you may be retired, but you need to kind of keep up things here around the house. So I did that, and I do a lot of cooking now, and a lot of things around the house that the wife did. Keeping the house going and keeping the money management going, I turned that over to my wife. She had never done that before. Now she does a great job.
Tom, how about you as a father? One closing thought for the guys out there. What can all of us do today to be better fathers?
I suppose just leading by example, being a good witness. You know, I feel like it's important that my kids see me pray. You know, being humble and being willing to serve others.
Outstanding. Well,
thank you for being with us today. This has been Measures of a Man, a listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I've been joined today by my co-host, Tony Trippi, Hank Mesiewicz, and Tom Heiss. Tom, if you could lead us in a quick prayer to... I'm sorry. Hank, if you could lead us in a closing prayer to end the show.
Sure. Dear Lord, we thank thee for the many, many, many blessings that we have, even in these troubled times in our country and our world. The blessings that you give us every day do not go unnoticed. We thank thee for the opportunity to be here with our fellow Christians, to be able to share things together. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh God, we admit that we are rarely questioned your existence, whether we are truly worthy and also of your great love. We have so often rejected our own crosses. We have judged them to be too heavy and too shameful, or our terrible burdens which seem to escape us. We should be praying for broader shoulders rather than lighter crosses. May we see in your divine providence eternity, that our personal crosses are joined to the cross of Christ as holy instruments of our new baptism in life, death, and resurrection. May we then gratefully embrace our crosses with you, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.